Glory to God.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Mark and Olive. Today, we continue our Bible study using The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. We are using the 2010 e-edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. Today, what we're going to study, we have entitled it, Stand, Be a Blessing. Okay? Stand, Be a Blessing. Okay? If you continue standing, like you're doing now, you'll be a blessing to many people. However, if you fall, there'll be not good repercussions for the people that you're supposed to be a blessing to. All right? But before we go, study that, let us quickly do a recap of the previous lesson. Last week, our Bible study was entitled, Unto the Lord. Okay? And we said that whatever we do, it should be as unto the Lord and not men. When we do that, we shall be rewarded. Colossians chapter 3 said, whatever we do, let us do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that for whatever good that we do, we shall receive the reward or the inheritance. Alright? So whatever we do, let us do it first and foremost as unto the Lord. And we shall be rewarded not only in this lifetime, but also in the age to come. Alright? Yeah. If what we do is primarily for ourselves or people and not unto the Lord, it is considered nothing in heaven, and it will cost us dearly. All right? We saw an example of Saul. Saul lost a kingdom, and he also lost his kingship. Why? Because he was more concerned about people than pleasing God. Okay? For just that one reason, okay, and we saw him like three times where he was doing wrong things, and the excuse was always people. So he lost a kingdom, and he also lost his kingship. Okay, we also saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, that at the judgment seat of Christ, whatever was not done as unto the Lord will be burned with fire. Okay. It will all basically be revealed for what it was, as in it was nothing. Okay? Yeah, then we got an opportunity to read from Anna Rontree's book, and we heard what the angel, Crystal Clear, had to say about sand castles. Yes. So, today, the topic is stand, be a blessing. Don't fall. All right? Stand by the grace of God. Yeah. Let's open page 59, paragraph 5. Are we there? Okay. Yeah, there's a sentence which begins with the word just. Have you seen it? Just, okay. So he says that just as we, let's read, saying that we learn from the example of Adam, who could have carried the whole human race into a most glorious future. But by his failure, he led billions of souls into the worst of dooms instead. With authority comes responsibility. Okay? So you've read it, eh? That, you know, we learn from the example of Adam, who could have carried the whole human race into a most glorious future, eh? Yeah, okay? But by his failure, he led billions of souls into the worst of dooms instead. Okay? And we are reminded that with authority comes responsibility. All right? Now, since we all have, you know, God has given us spheres of influence, eh? Okay? This applies to all of us, eh? Okay, whatever amount of authority that you have, eh? Okay? God wants you to wield it well, eh? Okay? Continue using that authority well, okay? Because if you continue to use it well, okay, you will lead people into a glorious future, eh? Okay? However, if you fall, eh? Okay, just like Adam did, then, you know, your failure, eh, might mean doom, eh, for those under whom, for those, eh, who are under your authority, eh, or sphere of influence, eh? Okay? Now, like, Olive, you have an organization, you know, eh? One day you have people, maybe you're employing, eh? You understand, eh? So as a leader, you have to watch your what? Your actions, eh? Okay? All right? You see, now if you have an organization, eh? You are the boss. Okay? One stupid mistake can cause man, eh? Families to go hungry. Because you do one mistake, man, eh? A company goes bankrupt. So then people have to be laid off. You see, eh? So do you see how people now are being chased out of their houses because they can't pay rent? Okay? Their kids can't go to school. Why? Because of some stupid what? Mistake of a leader. You understand? So this is not only applying to preachers and what, eh, but to all of us. Eh? Okay? You know? Flora, you could be, you know, you're heading a department, eh? Okay, your actions, you know, it can, you know, good or bad, they affect people. Glory be to God, you know. As a pastor, a man, I'm very aware of this, okay? Not that we won't do mistakes, okay? However, let us not be complacent. You understand? One day I was listening to Robert's Laden many years ago, and he was telling people that you do mistakes. Then he told them that actually, say it, I will do mistakes. You know, so if you know, for me, I don't confess that. Well, you don't have to confess it. You will do that, you understand? In this fallen, you know. However, let them not be major. Okay? Bridget, we are on page 59. Paragraph 5. You there? There's a sentence that begins with the word just. Have you seen it? Okay. So, yeah. So, we learn from the example of Adam, who could have carried the whole human race into a most glorious future. By his failure, he led billions of souls into the worst of dooms. Okay? All right? Why? Because with authority comes responsibility. Okay? So all of us, okay? There's someone, you know, there's someone you're influencing, there's someone you're leading, there's someone you have authority over, okay? So you need to what? To be very careful, okay? What you do. Because it is not only going to affect you, okay? It's going to affect those people, or that person, who you have influence over, or that person, God has called you to lead, into something good. All right? Let's continue reading, paragraph 6. It says somewhere that the more authority you're given, the more potential for both good and evil you have. Those who will rule with him, with Jesus, for the ages, will know responsibility of the most profound kind. No man stands alone, and every human failure or victory resonates far beyond our comprehension, even to generations to come. Now, these are the things. To me, the way when I read these bits in the final question, you know, the best way I can, you know, I describe it, these things are very scary. Very scary. Okay? You can even wish that you were not born, man. Because, man, it's like things are not a joke. All right? However, don't fear, okay? When you realize that, man, this is a tall order, and I think God wants you to get to that point, to realize that these things are serious, that, man, you can't handle, so that you can run to him for the grace to handle. Alright? For the grace to handle. Okay? Paragraph 7. There's a sentence which begins with the word anyone. Have you seen it? That sentence? You've seen it? Yeah. Anyone who understands the true nature of authority would never seek it. If you understand what authority is, that with your actions are going to impact people's lives. You know, you would never seek it. Okay? They would only accept it when they knew they were yoked with the Lord. The only one who can carry authority without stumbling. Never seek influence for yourself, but only seek the Lord and be willing to take his yoke. Okay? That means only seek the Lord and be willing, okay, to take the authority that he gives you. Do you understand? Okay? What he gives is what you take. And for you to use it well, okay, you have to be yoked with him. Because he's the only one who cannot stumble. Okay? What does that mean for us? It means simply that. Okay? Don't, you know, don't try to take authority which God hasn't given you. You understand? Don't step on people's toes so that they can get out of the way and you get into their place. Okay? In fact, if anyone is doing that, they don't understand the nature of true authority. If you realize that, man, authority means that your actions are going to impact people. You know, and especially if you get to realize that your bad actions are going to affect people negatively, you'd man keep away. That is if you love people. If you do what? If you love people. Okay, you'd only say, man, God just only, you know, give me what you want me to have and help me to walk with you that I may use this authority well. Okay? All right? Hallelujah. So you can now see some of the advantages of a church being small. You know, when you think about these things well, you can see advantages. Okay? Your actions are not going to impact many people. Okay, there are people, they're going to impact if they are bad actions, you know. However, they're not so many. Do you understand? You know, this is, when you understand authority, that's when now you can start to say, ah, man, thank God for me, I have 10. You know, because if I do something, it's only 10 people. Of course, it is bad. Even those 10 people shouldn't be messed up. However, it is, you know, She's not as bad as if you are Adam. You know, because what Adam did to this day, every child was born. Eh? To this day, Jesus came, yes, he died, he paid for Adam's sin. However, what he did still impacts every child who's born. Mark is going to have a child one day soon. And Adam, he was the number one. He was given creation. The whole creation was given to Adam. You know, not only the creation, but humans were going to come from him. So whatever Adam was going to do, it was going to affect creation, including humans, you know, for good or for bad. He was number one. Now that is great authority. So, there's someone who say that if Adam had been shown, you know, what his actions were going to be, to mean like generations, you know, up to us, there's someone who say probably he wouldn't have what? I don't know, but someone thinks like that. Probably, if you had been shown in a vision, you know, 6,000 years from now, when, you understand, when kids are crying, refugees, you understand, all this refugee thing, people dying, people murdering each other, people stealing, Adam? Adam. And of course you, because you also you participate in a sense. Okay? So that's why our Bible study topic today is stand, okay, be a blessing. If you continue to stand, okay, if Adam had continued to, if he hadn't fallen, he would have been a blessing to everyone who was coming after him. Okay? But when he fell, man, he unleashed a what? A curse. Okay? So stand and continue being a blessing. Because if God has given you authority, that authority is to bless people. It is to influence people for good. Alright? However, if you fall, man, it's going to affect everyone under you. Alright? Okay? So stand. Okay? Stand and be a blessing. Okay? Stand. Of course, like we shall see, it is by the grace of God. You can't stand in what? Your human strength. Hallelujah. Okay? Let's read some scriptures. Romans chapter 5. You know? Simple scriptures just to, you know, which say exactly what we have read so far. Romans chapter 5 verse 19, it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." Okay? By Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. Alright? And many are still made sinners. Alright? But then, there's this wonderful person, Jesus. Okay? By, again, you see, one person's obedience, okay, affected millions, billions of people, okay, positively. Okay? They were made like you and I, and many, you know, will be made righteous. Not by so many people doing something good. One man. One man, people were doomed. One. One man at the top. Okay? Doom. Then now we see Jesus, one man at the top, then many. Okay? With authority comes what? Responsibility. Never forget that. That is why sincerity started. I've told people that I will never trick people into LAT. Because you're just creating problems for yourself. You understand? Because if you do something and it affects those people, you understand? You're going to answer for that. So let only those who God brings, like we read, you only accept the authority that you're given. Okay, we read that page 59. And you also walk with the one, with Jesus, who can carry authority without stumbling. All right? Second Samuel, here is an example of David, who did something, and man, people were what? Affected. One man who God has given authority. You do something, people under you suffer. Okay? If you do something bad. However, you do something good, all of them get blessed. Now that is wonderful. 2 Samuel chapter 24, from verse 10. It says, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. Basically, David decided to do a census. You know, and God didn't, you understand? God was, I believe, against it. David, the king, the top guy, did what? A census. And actually, if you read the verses before, one of his army general, Joab, I think it was, told him not to do it. Told him, man, don't do it. But anyway, the king has decided, okay. So, but after he did it, the Bible says, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Does God forgive? He forgives, but sometimes the consequences have to be what? Experienced. You know, God forgives, but sometimes the consequences of your actions, and there's something like that somewhere in the final quest, where it will be like, now, if there are no consequences for people's actions, then that is not authority. You understand? So David here says, man, God, I have sinned. Okay? And then he says, you know, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done foolishly. All right? Now let's go to verse 15. Verse 15, okay? It says that the Lord sent a plague upon Israel. You remember, David was given three options. To choose three options of consequences. And he chose a plague. So, the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from morning till the appointed time. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. One man, did something. And innocent people now die. Now these things are very scary. That is why, anyway, very what? Scary. So 70,000 men or the people died. All right? Verse 17. David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people. Okay, there was an angel. This wasn't a demon, an angel of God. Given the responsibility to what? Why? Because of what David had done. Okay? So it says, then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Okay? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. So he's saying, God, the other guys, man, are innocent. Okay? God is like, no, you are the king. You understand? Your actions affect people, good or bad. Okay? All right? So you've seen that. And of course, something happened and the plague was stopped. But something drastic happened, which shouldn't have happened if someone had used his authority well. All right? There's a story I've loved for many years. Remember this young boy, some man called Phinehas. Okay? He was part of the priesthood. Okay. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25, verse 1 to 3. This chapter comes after Balaam basically has failed, or he has said he cannot curse Israel. Alright? You remember Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, because he feared, man, these guys are coming, they are going to, to conquer us. But Balaam said, man, see, it's impossible, these guys are uncursable. Okay? But before Balaam left, he told Balak, he gave him what? He gave him info. He's like, if you want these guys to get cast, basically get them into what? Idolatry. Get them to worship another god. That is how they'll open themselves up to what? To a curse. Okay? So, anyway, and it worked, man. These guys, the Israelites, they got foreign women whom God had told them not to get entangled with, and these women led them to worship their foreign gods. Okay? Okay, now, so with that background, let's read Numbers 25, from verse 1. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people, those women, invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined to Baal, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Okay? Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. Okay? Now, verse 6. God is angry by this time, like we've read. Now, verse 6 says that, and indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tent of the tabernacle of meeting. People are weeping because God is angry, because of what they have done. Then this guy brings in a coward, a kachik. Can you imagine? Okay? Now, okay? Verse 7. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Okay? So, in this thing, I think they were what? Committing fornication. And then the guy came and what, a spear through, And the Bible says the plague was stopped. Verse 9. And those people who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with a zeal. I love this guy, man. He was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore, say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now, this is wonderful, eh? But the point I wanted to get out of this, eh? Phinehas did one thing, eh? Okay? Phinehas had brothers, eh? Okay? One of them could have succeeded the dad, eh? And the dad was Aaron at that time, eh? Was it? Eh? Yes, he had brothers, eh? But his action, man, put him at the top of them. And God says, because of what he did, now he has the everlasting priesthood. Like now it is his lineage, where priests will always come from. You understand? He is one action of zeal for the Lord. Okay? Man, put now his family tree, in blessings. One person. Okay? He couldn't stand man, evil being done. You understand? And he took an action. And because of what he did, God basically made a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. Okay? He had brothers, but because of his action, okay, God says, you'll be above your brother and your family, man. The people who are coming after you. Everlasting priesthood. One man. His action. Glory be to God. Okay? Your actions today, okay, your actions now, man, can set the course of blessings for those who are coming after you. For your children, for your organization, for your church, your ministry, whatever God has called, you can do one thing and God is like, phew, because of what you have done, this great thing that you have done, everyone under you, good things. Hallelujah. All right? Phinehas, I love this. I'd want God, one of these days to come and appear to me and say, because of what you've done, your zeal for my name, your zeal to take on a wolf, man. Glory be to God. Man, I love this guy, Phinehas. So this is where, when I see people serving the Lord with no zeal, anything passes, anything goes, I'm like, have these guys ever read about Phinehas? You cannot become great in God if you don't have zeal. Just know it today. Where you, anything passes, everything is okay. You can't. You need to, man, to be like this guy. Zeal for God. The guy killed because of zeal. And God gave me ticks, and now your family. Alright? That is how we're able to get, you remember? Marilyn Skinner? It was zeal. Not anything, what passes. If you just leave whatever song is sung, how they have sung it, it's okay. You say, okay, you just say, but you just be that. But if you want the best from me, you have to have zeal. People can say, but Pastor Moses, no, you're too tired on the worship team. What? Those are theirs for you, zeal for the Lord. And God is like, yes, those are the kind of pastors I want. Not people just be here. What? We are just serving the Lord. I mean, we are volunteers. So don't be hard on us. You even don't pay us. And our hearts are, we want to bless the Lord. Yes, bless him with zeal. Glory be to God. If you don't do it, Pastor Moses will come after you and God will say, yeah, wonderful chap. Rachel, I mean, zeal, glory be to God. Okay? All right? Anyway, so we have seen that. Okay? Where did we stop? Okay. Now, let's go back to the final quest. Let's go to page 60. Page 60, paragraph 3. Page 60, paragraph 3, the last sentence in that paragraph. So here, Rick Joyner now has gone through all those guys, what? The low-ranking guys in heaven. Okay? You know, people wasted time, people who wasted talents, people who didn't have zeal, you know. So here it says that they all gave me the same warning. The higher the spiritual authority that you walk in, the farther you can fall if you're without love and humility. All right? So basically, here, they're giving the reasons why people fall. Okay? Authority. People with authority. Why they? And all of you here, you have authority in one way or the other. And it says that they fall, you know, because they're without love, or no humility, basically pride. All right? Okay? So God now is telling us, this is the way for you to handle authority well. Walk in humility and love, of course. Okay? But today, the emphasis will be on humility versus what? Pride. Okay? Now, like the first example that we got of someone who fell, and to this day is still affecting billions. His one action is affecting billions. Adam. Okay? What caused Adam to fall? In a sense, it was pride. Because God had told him, don't eat. Of the tree, you know, of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the enemy who came to them, him and Eve, and said that, no, you know, if you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. You will be like what? Like God. In essence, it means he was saying, you won't need God. Because if you're like God, now God for what? You understand? So now that was, again, you can see pride. You don't need God. Pride, you don't need God. I'm self-sufficient. Those things of a self-made man, a self-made woman. And you hear them boasting on TV, on radio, in papers. And someone, man, that guy is self-made. You know, rubbish, man. We are God-made. Okay? So, you see, Adam, it was basically wanting to be, you know, without need for God. Exactly that's how pride means. You don't need God, you're self-sufficient. All right? Okay, that's why here it says that all those people, you know, who fail, you know, who had authority, it was because, you know, love and the lack of it and the lack of humility. Basically, pride. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16. We all know that scripture. Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a what? A fall. Pride goes before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. Okay? And this is what Rick Joyner was being told in heaven. Okay? He was told that the higher the spiritual authority that you walk in, or anyway, whatever authority that you have, okay, you can fall if you don't have what? If you walk in pride, if you don't walk in humility. So therein is the solution, okay, for you to keep standing and continue being a blessing. Because if you fall, there are repercussions which are going to affect everyone under you. You understand? Eh? So if you really love people and you don't want your actions to mess them up, walk in humility. Eh? Okay? Walk in humility. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, let's go to page 26. This is one of the saddest passages in the final quest, man. Every time I read it, man, I'm filled with sorrow. Eh? You know, and it makes me, man, say, man, God, help me. Eh? Page 26, paragraph 2. Man, this thing, very sad. Eh? Paragraph 2, page 26. Rick Joyner says he saw the enemy, he says the enemy was fleeing in all directions except one division, pride. Completely undetected, it had marched right up to the rear of the advancing warriors and was about to release a hail of arrows. I then noticed that the mighty warriors had no armor on their backsides. They were totally exposed and vulnerable to what was going, to what was about to hit them. Wisdom remarked, "You have taught that there is no armor for the backside, which means you're vulnerable if you run from the enemy. However, you never saw how advancing in pride also makes you vulnerable." I could only nod in acknowledgement, for it was too late to do anything. It was almost unbearable to watch. But wisdom said that I must. I knew, now this is very sad, I knew the kingdom of God was about to suffer a major defeat. Though I had felt sorrow before, I had never felt this kind of sorrow. To my amazement, when the arrows of pride struck the warriors, they did not even notice. However, the enemy kept shooting. The warriors were bleeding and getting weaker fast, but they would not acknowledge it. Soon they were too weak to hold up their shields and swords. They cast them down, declaring that they no longer needed them. They started taking off their armor, saying it was not needed anymore either. Then another enemy division appeared and moved up swiftly. It was called Strong Delusion. Its members released a hail of arrows, and they all seemed to hit their marks. It only took a few of the demons of delusion, who were all small and seemingly weak, to lead away this once great army of glorious warriors. They were taken to various prison camps, each named after a different doctrine of demons. I was astounded at how this great company of the righteous had been so easily defeated, and they still did not even know what had hit them. I blurted out, "How could those who are so strong, who have been all the way to the top of the mountain, who have seen the Lord as they have, be so vulnerable?" Pride is the hardest enemy to see, and it always sneaks up behind you, wisdom lamented. In some ways, those who have been to the greatest heights are in the greatest danger of falling. You must always remember that in this life, you can fall at any time from any level. These are things, man, which should keep you sober all your life. Knowing that in this life, you can fall at any time from any level. Okay? In our days, we are a bit messed up in the heads. We think that the people who are the greatest levels can't fall. We think it is, you know, the little ones, you know. But here he's saying, because Lucifer fell. Some of us, almost all of us, have not really experienced or sat
Yeah? In the position Lucifer sat in. You know, the Joans, you just get like a vision once in a while. This guy wasn't seeing visions of the Lord. He was, if you understand, he was there like angel. You understand, you know, he was always there for you. Once in a while, you get like a vision. You know, but he is a man who lived in it. He didn't have to have a vision. That was his dwelling place. And he fell. Now, what about us now, a pastor? You haven't reached the level Lucifer was at. So why can't you fall, a pastor? You understand? If you acknowledge that Lucifer fell, then it should be obvious that means anyone can fall at any time from any level if they are without humility. Okay? All right? There's I remember it was 20th July. 20th July, last year. I had a dream. In this dream, I was attending a fellowship. And I was seated with your husband, Sam. Okay? I'm attending a fellowship. Then there's a guy who is making announcements. You know, announcements. Announcement number one. And, you know, and this guy is making these announcements in a very unserious manner. He doesn't understand the magnitude of what he's saying. So, first announcement. Okay? He says that the leader, so announcement number one, the leader of that fellowship had, been involved in a car crash in South Africa. Like he had been crushed. Okay? That was but the guy is reading them like it's not a big deal. Announcement number two, this same leader of this fellowship had been involved in an accident in Nakulavie. Yeah? And his legs had been what? Basically like crushed. Eh? So that means basically like his movement, his whatever, been affected. Okay? Then he summarizes those two announcements with a scripture. Okay? So they project a scripture. Let's read that scripture. If I remember, I remember that dream very well. The scripture was Isaiah chapter 14. Chapter 14, are you there? Verse 12. Okay? He's concluding those two announcements. And verse 12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Okay? The moment he reads that, I turn to Sam. I ask him that those things the guy is saying, have they happened or they are going to happen? Okay? Then someone, I don't know whether it was Sam or somebody else, but someone tells me that they have already happened. And the dream ended. You see, I remember I have these dreams, you know. Most of the significant dreams I get, I write them down. You know, 20th July. I think it was, I think it was 20th July. If it's not 20th, 17th. Okay? But, so that means that Isaiah 14 was to basically give meaning to the accidents. Do you understand? Basically, like you know, so in the dream there was even the interpretation of what? The accidents in South Africa, in Nakulabe, what they mean. So get up from the dream when you know the interpretation. Don't come up with your own things. You understand? And the interpretation was, someone has fallen, just like Lucifer fell. Okay? All right? So, we're still in the final quest, okay? So, we have ended at that bit where I say you can fall at any time from any level. Then, wisdom continues to tell Rick Joyner, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Not sure it was Rick Joyner who added that line. She says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Then it says, how awesome such scriptures seem to me now. When you think you're the least vulnerable to falling, is in fact when you're the most vulnerable. Most men fall immediately after a great victory, wisdom lamented. How can we keep from being attacked like this, I asked. Stay close to me. Inquire of the Lord before making major decisions and keep that mantle on. You know what that mantle is? The mantle of humility. Okay? How can we keep from being attacked like this? You know? Solution? Stay close to me. Who is this me? Wisdom. Okay? Stay close to wisdom, Alright? Then say, inquire of the Lord before making major decisions and keep that mantle on, Okay? Stay humble. Then the enemy will not be able to easily blindside you as he did them. I looked at my mantle. It looked so plain and insignificant. I felt that it made me look more like a homeless person than a warrior. Wisdom responded as if I'd been speaking out loud. The Lord is closer to the homeless than to kings. You only have true strength to the degree that you walk in the grace of God. And he gives his grace to the humble. No evil weapon can penetrate this mantle because nothing can overpower his grace. As long as you wear this mantle, you are safe from this kind of attack. Being attacked by what? Pride. You understand? Being hammered. He says, as long as you wear this mantle, you are safe. Okay? You are what? Safe. Okay? Remember the topic today, okay? We have entitled it, Stand, okay? Be a blessing. Okay? If Adam hadn't fallen, if Adam had continued to stand, okay, we have read on page 59 that he was going to be a blessing to billions of people that were coming after him. But when he fell, okay, all this poverty, disease, anything bad in this world, okay, it starts from Adam. Okay? We saw, you know, that by one man's disobedience, okay, many were made sinners. All were made sinners. Then it says, but by one man's obedience, Jesus, many will be made righteous. Adam fell because basically self-centeredness, pride. Okay? But now God is telling you how not to what? How not to do what Adam did. Okay? Stay humble. I used to hear Robert Ladd, okay? He was talking about, you know, they grew up with Oral Roberts' mother, okay? Ladon's mother, you know, at a certain point, they took care of Oral Roberts' mother. Actually, that's how, anyway, yeah, all right? So, Ladon says that Oral Roberts, the mother, used to steal Oral Roberts, you know? Do you guys know Oral Roberts, man, was one of the greatest generals, man. He passed away a few years ago, one of the greatest man. But Ladon says that the mother used to tell him that Oral, stay humble. You know, then say that when God starts doing these things and he fills up a tent, say, stay humble. Okay? Then say, remember where you came from. They were poor, Oral Roberts was an Indian, American Indian. Just like Kenneth Copeland. You know, those are not real what? Caucasians, You know, Alright? I think Andrew Womack's wife is also an American Indian. Basically, you know, those whites went there, they messed up those white, you know those things, Okay. So I said, no, that land is not for those whites, it is for Indians. Anyway, but so they were poor, So it was, never forget where you came from. When money increases and the people come, always remember where you came from. Stay small in your own eyes. The mother used to tell Oral, but say, Oral, you know, stay humble. And then she used to say that if you stay humble, God will do great things for you. You know, Pride comes before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a what? Before a fall. Okay? So, may God give you the grace to stand. Because when you stand, you use that authority you've given well, you use it well, okay? You stand, you know the people you're influencing, the people under you are going to get blessed. Okay? But if you mess up, you know, we read that no man stands alone. Every action will resonate to even generations, you know. Okay? So if you stay, you know, if you use your authority well, your position well to do good, to make right decisions, you understand, the people under you are going to be impacted for good. Okay? Just say, you know, Jesus, and we've just read also, Phinehas did one thing for the Lord's zeal and said, now, a covenant of eternal priesthood in your what? Lineage. All right? So, as long as you wear this mantle, you are safe. Glory be to God. You're what? Safe. You are safe from falling, from being attacked, from being hammered, like these warriors were hammered because they were advancing in pride. And it says pride is the hardest enemy to see. You know, it sneaks, So the only way is, so now you have to find a way, always of keeping humble. The good things I think about them a lot. I think about, by the way, these things a lot. I think about how to live, how to dress so that, I think about so many things, so that you can keep people, People can always see you as a fellow human. I keep these things. There's some things I do. I do them deliberately. So that man, people don't take, I do them deliberately. And I won't tell you what I do. I do them deliberately. Sometimes when even someone passes eyes through me, sometimes they're like, aha, that's very good. You understand? You know, the little thing where if I was jealous, I would feel hurt, and you understand? Try to revenge, try to let people know who I am. But you're like, aha, that is good. It reminds me that I'm what? I'm a human. You understand? These things. In fact, as you're trying to find out how man, you also pray for the Lord to come back quickly before you fall. But the Lord said, no, that's not working. You just come to me for the grace. All right? James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6, it says, but he, God,
gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay? The humble get grace, the grace to keep them standing. But the proud, he actually resists them. He, in a sense, it's like he fights them. Okay? So when you keep that mantle on, the mantle of humility, God gives you the grace to overcome. Okay? And just as we have seen or we have read, okay, we read that no evil weapon can penetrate this mantle because nothing can overpower his grace. Nothing can overpower his grace. And that grace that cannot be overpowered is given to the humble. That's why Rick Joyner is told, as long as you wear this mantle of humility yourself. Why? Because you're given grace, which grace cannot be overcome by any evil weapon. Alright? It is that simple, but it is not really what? Simple. And you see, today, you can be humble, but it's not a guarantee that even tomorrow, you will be. That means man. You always have money to every day say mukama nyamba. Okay? Man, the dreams I receive from people, even some I get, I dream myself, they just cause me to fear. Because some of the things is people I know, you understand? And I'm like, now if it has happened to them, you know, if I don't walk in humility, I'm next. But that's how I see myself, I'm like, true, now, next in line, you. So I'm like, man, God, as in, help me. That's why I guess I have to keep almost like reading the final quest. You know, because when you read it, man, you wake up and say, hey, what? You know, hey, it keeps you, I was told like 2 years ago, I believe it was the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, but I know I was told. I was told that if I want to be great in heaven, I should master this book, The Final Quest. Master this book. And that's the reason why we're learning what? From me. Master this book. The final. You see, you can become so big-headed, pride, and then you say, this final quest, hey, I read it in 1999. Then they ask you, what is there you don't know? That's how most people, the final quest, it's a powerful book. I read it in Hawaii. Then you start to talk about it. They can't tell you what is in there. But they read it, yes. And that is it. They read it. It's a powerful book. Then you start to talk. Gives money. You understand? So, you know. Alright. Okay, let's continue to read the final quest. Today we have done a lot of reading from the book. So we stopped on how to avoid, how to stay safe from that kind of attack. Then Rick Joyner says that, I then started to look up to see how many warriors were still on the mountain. I was shocked to see how few there were. I noticed, however, that they all had on the same mantle of humility. How did that happen? I inquired. When they saw the battle you just witnessed, they all came to me for help, and I gave them their mantles. Man, this is what I'm saying. When I got these dreams, in a sense, I did exactly this. I ran to go and say, man, God, man, if it can happen, so you understand? Say, man, you know, And again, this is what these things should make people do to get them scared to run to the Lord. Because even no methods are going to keep you humble. These things of, I should do this. When I become great, I should do this. I behave.
All those things are great, but ultimately, it is running to the throne of grace. Humble yourself, run to the throne of grace, that you may receive grace to help in time of need. The scripture says. Okay? So when they saw the battle you just witnessed, they all came to me for help, and I gave them their mantles, the mantles of humility. Glory be to God. Okay? So stand and be a blessing. Okay? Remain standing. Remain standing and be a blessing. Okay? Adam didn't remain standing. He sinned, and his one action, to this day it's affecting billions. Okay? So even you, in your family, in your organization, among your peers, your one good action can affect them positively. Just you. For them, they're even on their own things, but just you. However, if you don't wield the authority you have over them well, you're going to mess them up. People are going to suffer because of you. Innocent. King David did something and innocent people suffered. Why were they suffering? Because the leader had done what? Okay? There's a sermon I listened to years ago. It was entitled Cities of Refuge. Cities of Refuge. Yeah, anyway. So, you remember in the Old Testament, there were those cities of what? Refuge. If someone kills a person, by mistake or what, if they run to that place, they are safe. Okay? Yeah, anyway, so this person is saying that now, in this day and age, those things still happen in the spirit, in the kingdom of God, where if like a man or a woman, again, top whatever, like David, they do something, all of you under him, like we saw, David, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people fell, died. All right? You understand? However, if you want to escape, man, you have to run to a city of a refuge. Get under a person who now, they are in God's good books, if I should say. You understand? Because run to the city of refuge. Because when God begins to judge a thing, everyone who's under there, because of this principle, which began with Adam. Adam, you're the leader. You do something, everyone under you. You do something good, good for them. You do something, So the other thing, cities of what? Refuge. Where some people just get blessed. They don't know why. But because of, there's some guy who's doing good stuff. Okay. And they are joined with that person. That is why now the principle of partnership. Where you're one way, however, if something is wrong and you're still in partnership, when God starts what? Unleashing. When the repercussions start, again you have to partake of that. Glory be to God. Okay? All right? Are you listening to me? You can close your Final Quest books because we are finished reading from there. Okay? I just want to see if there's any other verse I'm supposed to read. Because I want to use my authority well so that so I have to, everything God wants me to say today. Yeah, I've read all the scriptures. Glory be to God. So in a sense, we are done. Glory be to God. Amen? So, remain standing. Don't fall. Okay?
And what should you do in order to fall? Run to the throne of grace. Go receive grace. Say, humble yourself and go and receive grace. Because we have read, okay, that no evil anything can overcome the grace of God. And that grace is given to the humble. On the contrary, God resists the proud. Okay, so the proud have no grace. So that means they are going to be hammered. But someone with grace, no weapon can what? All right? We are done. Glory be to God.